This is actually my favorite part of the reading. This is an opportunity for anyone or everyone that wants to read something extra that they have the opportunity. One of the things, I find this is a great place for you to practice your voice, practice reading your poetry. I do it. It's actually, I want to practice my poetic voice because I think all poems should be written well, and I think they all should also be presented well. Now, I think of, like, I was thinking of Mark Twain today, and he's one of my favorite authors. Hey, Joe, yo. Joe's in another world. He wrote about Huckleberry Finn. He wrote of Joan of Arc. He wrote of heaven and hell. But he also wrote about Blue Jays. When he wrote about Blue Jays, he compared them to congressmen, how they were dishonest and they steal and they did all kind of stuff. And that was back in like 1890. And it hasn't really changed that much. So poets and writers, you can write everything from about Joan of Arc to Blue Jays. And there's no wrong in anything you do. So let's get on here with the show. And let's try, Thaddeus, you're first. Come on up here.
Hello. This is called Quasar in the Skull. What the mind cannot imagine is itself. A sun comes out of a sun comes out of a sun. Nothing actually begins. Let's focus on frog skins, or better, cilia that move toxins with snake waves out of throats. The absurdity of the idea of solitude. Circuit boards. Sea finches. A nice rush through unseen piping. Nothingness. A calligrapher's private white ream. Fine. Dip a pig fritter in chocolate. Spritz a little essence of magnolia gingerly over the shit ledges. Day will try to stamp out night's white scintilla. No matter. Take a seat anywhere. This is called No Thing Enters No Space. The impression of the thing was more important than the thing itself. Or was the thing itself the impression perceived simultaneously in all directions by the thing? He couldn't decide. The thing kept hinting he didn't need to. All that mattered approached and passed through, leaving tracings of husks, the mind's fossils, beheld, loved, forgotten.
Thaddeus, thank you. I met Thaddeus down the B-52s. He's cool. That's a great vegetarian restaurant, by the way. Stop there. You'll love it. The next poet that's going to be reading here is ZZ Zeta. Come on, baby. Let's knock and rock.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out for open mic. So I guess since it's spring, I'll read some spring stuff because I just don't feel like getting all that deep tonight. So I'll start with a self-portrait with venom. Grandpa says the bees won't sting her. She was born by their venom. That makes her part baby, part bee. Mom lets him take me along to gather wild honey. We walk down deer paths through the backwoods of God's country, Potter County, Pennsylvania. Find a sugar maple busy with honeybees. Grandpa says, take my pocket knife, climb up to the hive and cut off a piece of comb. Just don't bother the biggest bee, that's their queen. Barefoot, I shimmy up, thighs against bark, bear grip the sturdy trunk, stretch myself like a snake, slither onto the bee branch. My pulse races as drones swarm. Bee after bee lands on my blue jean jacket. They crawl onto my bare hand. I shoo them off, almost fall. Grandpa laughs, says, hold on to the tree. Don't worry about the damn bees. They're charmed by you. Grab some honeycomb. My face is bearded by buzzing bees. But I'm calm, like in a dream. I tell myself, the bees won't sting me. Their venom is in my heart. Bumblebee Baby. And this starts with an epigraph from Rudolf Steiner, which is from a book called If the Bees Are Few, A Hive of Bee Poems, which is in, I think, published in England. But it's a collection of poets, bee poets, which I consider myself a bee person or whatever the hell. But I discovered bee poets through poetry. I didn't even know these people existed, so it's pretty cool. Even Sylvia Plath considered herself a bee poet. So the Bumblebee Baby, the epigraph is, you can really see by looking at the escaping swarm of bees an image of the human soul flying away from the body. Dad threw a softball at Mom while she was taking a smoke break in the shade. She was 8 months pregnant with me. The ball hit a branch above Mom's head and knocked down a dangling hive. The swarm surrounded and drones attacked. They stung hundreds of times before she went into shock. With each prick of poisonous dagger, bee fire blast through my unborn heart. At the hospital, the doctors asked, who to save, mother or child? Dad said, save the mother. Baby me seized in the womb. Worker bees orbed in spiraling S-curves, their compound eyes and antenna alert, a galaxy of stars in hexagonal honeycomb. The queen's fuzzy legs tickled when she crawled down my birth canal and made my womb her new hive. Bumblebees danced inside me. They buzzed my brain while I flew between being she, bee, baby, she, bee, bumblebee, baby. Their winged vibrations buzzed baby me back to life. Nurses proclaimed, it's a miracle. They said angels were in the room. So Mom named me Angela, and Dad bought a round for the bar. He said, I have an angel, and raised his shot glass. My first words, when I finally spoke, I fly bye-bye. Thank you.
Somehow we're connected, see, I just know that. Aaron, where you at? Come on up, Aaron.
Yeah, This is also a poem for the spring, helpfully titled Pseudo-Sonnet for the Spring. It's not a sonnet. The silver maple offers up the green that's creeping back, calls down a rain that patters hazily against the world's scalp. The asphalt wears its practiced sheen. Where dirt is, roots are busy as the maple gleans what little liquid sense it can, just like the last time. And again, it's nothing. All is empty. All is one. And then the sun, and as it's there, I guess I might as well depict the way its vulgar light dries the road, dulls it. I devote myself to this, and write by rote, by rote, by rote.
I'm just amazed how you can memorize stuff. I don't know. I think that's amazing. I really do. Wow, you'd have been great to have as a partner, as a policeman. I told you, memorize everything. All right, Scott, where you at? Oh, there you go. Come on.
I could probably just stand. Sapling. Love felt reality passing by what felt like the last time. He stopped him and yelled, "Hey, why are you always running by me?" In reality, turned around and hopped on its heels as Flex Cath. His cat Flex. And reality said, "How many times do I have to tell you, old friend? You're just fucking standing there." Thank you.
You could be my partner too. Hey, Nancy, Esther. James, come on.
Yes. Okay. Well, one of our contest topics for Pittsburgh Poetry Society recently was to write a sonnet. That happens every couple of years. One of our contests we have to do a sonnet. So this is Sonnet for Ebony. The sole black kitten, littermates gray or tan, you caught my eye as you scaled the cage's rim. I picked you up and held you in my hand. You nestled, greeted me with purring hum. With my free hand, I gathered up another, an orange boy kit, and held him close to you. With tiny paws, you play sparred with each other. I brought home not just one new cat, but two. Your favorite sport was climbing whatever, sofa, draperies, legs of human friends. Your playmate, Tigger, but not forever. 5 years ago, a blood clot caused his end. Dear Ebony, old lady cat, please stay. Be my sweet companion many more days. Thank you.